Litcast Slovakia, the podcast about Slovak literature in English. Welcome to Litcast Slovakia, the 30th and last episode in the series. And today I'll be talking to Peter Michalík, who has been the driving force behind these podcasts. But let me introduce him first. Peter Michalík is a Slovak literary organizer, publisher and translator. He is the co-founder of the independent literary festival and publishing house Brak. He then went on to found his own publishing house, Monokel, which publishes mainly children's books and comics, but also books for grown-ups, both Slovak and translated. And he has been working for the past 4 years at Literárne informačné centrum, the Slovak Information Center for Literature, where he is responsible for promoting Slovak literature, mainly in the English-speaking world. And it was in this capacity that he came up with the idea of these podcasts, which he has been editing and producing, and also ironing out any technical difficulties, of which there have been plenty. So, Peter, could you tell us how the idea of these podcasts came about?
Yeah. Hello, Julia. Thanks for having me. And first of all, thank you for the past almost 15 months of you providing this podcast. It was a pleasure to work with you. It's a sad situation for me to know that this podcast is the last one, but I think that it was a great time, and thanks for all the great inspiring discussions you provided.
Thank you. I meant to thank you for giving me the opportunity to do this. It was quite challenging, but also very, very, very enjoyable.
Yeah, I think you are a born interviewer. It was always very natural to listen to you discussing various topics with your guests. But yeah, back to the question. You, of course, know very well why this podcast came into existence. It was March 2020, a time that we all remember as the days when the pandemic hit Europe. And it was, of course, the same here in Slovakia and in the Slovak Literary Center. And as we saw the situation with the International Book Fairs, March is a month of Bologna Book Fair as well as London Book Fair. And we've seen these two very important fairs being cancelled. So we imagined that this situation will go on for at least months. And we somehow wanted to stay in touch with our foreign partners, be it publishers or organizers of various literary events in the whole world. And so this was the main reason why I approached you and asked you whether you'd like to participate on such a thing as a literary podcast aimed primarily on this connection between Slovak literature and its translations, mainly into English. But if you don't mind, I'd like to take the word and be the one who will provide today's discussion with you, because you are the crucial person in this connection between Slovak literature and the English-speaking world. And it's definitely you who should be interviewed in this podcast. So I'd like to make use of this opportunity and to ask you some questions. Are you okay with that?
All right. Okay.
Okay. So since April 2020, you've invited various guests to this podcast. We've been working on it together. But you yourself are, first of all, a great translator of Slovak literature into English. You translated, together with your husband Peter Sherwood, the crucial works of contemporary Slovak literature into English, be it Bala, Pavel Vilikovsky, or Ivana Dobrakovova. So this is you as a translator, but there is a strong connection between Slovakia, Slovak culture, and the English-speaking world culture in you as a person and you, your incredible family background and story. So first of all, I'd like to ask you to tell us more about you, your family, your parents, and their artistic and intellectual careers, and the quite hard circumstances that led them and you as well as a young woman leave Czechoslovakia in the 1970s.
My father, Ladislav Jan Kalina, was a writer, a cabaret author, satirist, translator, film historian, and first and foremost, joke collector. And he's most famous for his book, 1001 Joke, which was published in 1969. My mother, Agnesha Kalinova, was a journalist, translator, film critic, and later political commentator. And they were both quite involved in the Prague Spring, in the attempts to reform socialism. They both lost their jobs and were banned from publishing after the Soviet-led invasion of 1968. And then in 1972, they were both imprisoned, and it was only, they were only the second lot of political prisoners during this so-called normalization period. I was not quite 18 at the time, and because Slovakia, Bratislava is such a small place, everyone knew about their case. And it so happened that I just graduated from secondary school when my parents were in prison, and that's when I tried to go to university, and that was not possible. And so then my mother was released after about 10 weeks in prison and was not charged. The charges were dropped, but my father was sentenced to 2 years imprisonment for incitement, for completely ridiculous reasons, which sound really absurd today. One of them was that he had the intention of publishing a version of his joke book abroad, a version that wasn't even written at the time. So then we somehow had to try and make ends meet. Because I couldn't go to university, I made 7 or 8 attempts. I had to have I have to work, because otherwise I would have been imprisoned as a parasite. So I worked first in a cable factory, in the technical library. My mother worked in a geological institute. Then I ended up working in another geological institute. And I kept trying to gain access to higher education. And eventually, when it wasn't working out, we just decided that enough was enough. And by then, there was a possibility for people who were seen as kind of hostile elements to apply for emigration. So we did. And in 1978, my parents and I left Bratislava and moved to Germany.
This is so unbelievable story to listen to these days. Even for me, who was born in the socialistic Czechoslovakia in the late 1980s, what especially interests me is the reason why your father had all these struggles. It's quite absurd to say that it was a book of jokes, 1001 Joke, actually a really famous book in Slovakia nowadays. It was published a year or maybe 2 years ago in a new edition, and it was a best-selling title. But back to your story, which for now ended in 1978, when your family left Czechoslovakia. You went to Germany, and you finally had an opportunity to get an access to a university where you've studied Slavic languages. So today, except of English, you're really familiar with not only Slovak or Czech, but as well Polish, Russian, and I know also about German and Hungarian languages as well. This sounds to me like you are a true Central European, not only from the linguistic perspective, but also from the perspective of the history of your family. But tell me, what is your personal relationship to this particular region? What do you feel when we say Central Europe? What is your relationship to its cultural or literary heritage?
Well, I think Central Europe is where I feel most at home in every sense of the word. Even after living abroad for most of my life now, but still culturally, linguistically, also in gastronomically, that's really where I'm most at home. In literature, I grew up, as you mentioned, Czech and Slovak almost interchangeably. I read books in both these languages and translations of world literature into mostly Czech and also Slovak. German came along a little bit later because Bratislava used to be a trilingual city, and my parents considered it an absolute must that I should learn German. So I had private lessons since the age of 8. Hungarian, you mentioned that among my languages, but it really isn't. I can speak it a little bit. I used to speak it as a child, but I can't actually read in Hungarian, which is a bit of a shame. Now, Russian is something that everyone had to learn at school in those days, but in my case, it went a little bit deeper because my father believed very strongly, even in the 60s, that there is a big difference between politics and culture. And so he made sure that when I was 13, I went to the Soviet Union and I spent 3 weeks there as a guest of friends of my parents, a man called Vladimir Savitsky, who was a translator from Slovak. He translated, for example, works by Peter Karvaš. It was, well, that's for a novel, my travel there, because I went as an unaccompanied child, which we had no idea that it actually wasn't allowed, but I managed to get in. And so Russian really became very natural to me. When I came back, I had to remind myself to speak Slovak. And then I also had a absolutely fantastic teacher at school who also instilled this love in the Russian language in everyone. So of the people who were in my class, about half of them ended up studying or wanting to study Russian. And this is quite remarkable because this was after the Soviet-led invasion when people really hated language. But we all felt that we were drawn to the great Russian literature and all contemporary one. And then Polish, that's my next love. I've always wanted to learn it, but I immersed myself in Polish that was in the 1990s when I traveled there a lot for work. I didn't mention English, which I also studied at school from the age of 12, I think. But I had actually not set foot in an English-speaking country until I think 1981. But what I always wanted to study initially was Russian and English. I applied the first, first course I applied for still in Bratislava was translating and interpreting. And that's what I always wanted to do. So when I came to Germany, I studied English and Slavonic languages. And I wanted to immerse myself in the language more. So I was very lucky to get a scholarship to study in England, and I could study anything, but I just thought there was a great opportunity that at the School of Slavonic and East European Studies, they taught Czech and Slovak literature. In Germany, these were only really as side subjects, so I thought it wouldn't do me any harm to concentrate on that for 1 year and do it in English. So I arrived in London, and my teacher was the legendary Robert Pinsent, whom I was hoping to interview for this podcast, but unfortunately, because he's in the middle of moving house, it wasn't possible. And it was while I was a student here in London that I met my future husband, Peter Sherwood, who also taught at the School of Slavonic Studies. He taught Hungarian there. And after that 1 year, I returned to Germany. I graduated, and then I got married and moved to London. So that's basically what happened.
And you're still in London.
I'm still in London, yes, with a little interlude.
Yeah.
So I was in, so this was 1984. I moved to London, and I lived here until 2007, when my husband got a job, a professorship at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. And we moved there and spent 6.5 years living in the US. And we came back in 2014. And since then, I've been.
You mentioned your husband, Peter Sherwood, who is co-signed with you under most of your book translations from Slovak into English. So this seems to be a pretty close professional cooperation. Tell me, how is it to cooperate with your husband?
Well, we are actually not the first husband and wife translator team. There are quite a few known cases like this. And the way we work is that because I'm the native speaker of Slovak, and Peter doesn't actually read Slovak, so I do the first couple of drafts, sometimes three, depending on how difficult the text is, and then I pass it on to him, and then he works on it and kind of polishes it. Now, I think it's a great advantage, partly because translation can be a very lonely business. And recently I've seen several translators in a network that I'm part of looking for someone to pair up with for collaborative translation or as a second pair of eyes, because it really, really helps. And in our case, another great advantage is that Peter's been educated here in the UK, even though he was born in Hungary. And so he has a much better grasp of idiomatic expressions and a much, much wider vocabulary, also because he's also a lexicographer. Mm-hmm. And so when I pass on the translation to him, what he does is basically line editing, and that means that the finished translation that goes to the publisher is usually does not require as much editing as it might otherwise do. Because, as I mentioned, he's a lexicographer and has this vast vocabulary, sometimes he comes up with words that to me sound quite outlandish and maybe slightly old-fashioned. So sometimes we have rather heated discussions about this, but they're always interesting, and you know, we've been together for 37 years and it hasn't really affected our marriage. So it's really, really great to be working together, and especially now that we're spending even more time at home, and just you know, to be working with someone that you love, I can't think of anything better.
Mm-hmm. I've heard a couple of times that during the pandemic, during the lockdowns, life of many people have changed dramatically, but not those who are somehow involved in literature, especially translators, whose life hasn't changed that much. So how is that in your case and in the case of your husband? Has your daily routine changed dramatically during the pandemic?
No, as you said, it absolutely hasn't. We still get up every day and sit here and work away facing each other at the dining table. The main change is that we used to go out a lot more to literary events, to theatre, to concerts, and we really, really miss that. The other thing both of us miss is travel. So for me, it's really important to visit Slovakia on a regular basis, and I haven't been able to do that now since November 2019. I think this is the longest gap I've had, or this is the longest I've actually gone without leaving the country, probably since leaving Czechoslovakia. And then also privately, we really, really miss seeing our friends, seeing our daughter. But I think we've been very lucky. I know of some translators who've felt that the work has dried up, and it hasn't been the case really for us. And in fact, I feel I've had more work than ever before. It may be also because these podcasts were also added to the mix.
So, as I've already mentioned, you've translated together with your husband Peter a good number of contemporary Slovak writers into English. And I know that these days you're translating another book, which I guess might be quite special for you, as it's a book of interviews with your mother, Agnieszka Kalinová, interviewed by a writer and publisher Jana Juráňová. The book is called Mojich 7 životov, My 7 Lives. So how is it to translate the words of your own mother?
It's unusual, it's wonderful, and sometimes it's sad. The way Jana Juráňová has conceived the book, she has done it using the methodology of oral history. So while it's really well edited and polished, it retains the cadences of spoken speech, and she has really succeeded in making my mother's voice ring in that Slovak original. So when I read it, I can hear her. So what I have been trying to do is retain this in the English to make it sound the way it would have sounded if my mother had written it in English. And of course, it's a very, very special project for me. I was hoping to find a publisher while my mother was still alive, and sadly that was not possible. But I'm sure she'll be really very, very happy, or she's happy somewhere up there, that the book is coming out in late October from Purdue University Press.
We're talking about translations, about the work itself, about the various authors you and your husband Peter translated into English. But let's talk for a while about how the idea of translating Slovak books into English came to your mind. So can you maybe talk a while about how did this idea evolved?
Of course. Well, it actually started, as I mentioned, I wanted originally to study translating and interpreting. That wasn't possible. And then when I settled in London, the first job I got was working for Amnesty International. This was really a kind of debt I felt I wanted to pay to the organization that campaigned on behalf of my parents when they were imprisoned. And also because I felt very strongly that I didn't want to leave my past behind, and I just wanted to help people in what was still then the communist bloc, who were still suffering and who were imprisoned. And so I stayed there for over 20 years, first working on behalf of prisoners of conscience. Then came Perestroika, a lot of these prisoners were released, and then it suddenly became possible for Amnesty to operate freely in Central Europe and other former communist countries. And so I started traveling there, and then I left her 20 years later, had a short stint with another organization, Save the Children, and then I ended up in the US without a work permit, and didn't really want to end up a desperate housewife spending all my time just shopping and watching TV. So I slowly went back to my origins. I started translating essays and journalism for friends in Slovakia, Marta Šimečková and Andrea Puková, who had a wonderful website at the time called Salon. Then I started translating texts for them for a conference they organize every year in November on the anniversary of the Velvet Revolution, Central European Forum. And then I started translating excerpts of literary works for the Literary Center in Slovakia. Your predecessor, Inka Martinova, who worked at the time, gave me this opportunity. And then I enjoyed it, so I signed up for a one-semester course in translation theory at the University of North Carolina. And then I decided to try my hand at other things. I managed to publish some excerpts or short stories in journals. And then the first book project was Sam Kotales' cemetery book, which I translated on spec without having a publisher, but with the help of Inka Martinova and Litz, we were very lucky to find Garnet Press, who published it. And then it just went on from there.
Yeah, and here you are now, probably the most active translator of Slovak literary books to English. But you not only translate the books of Slovak authors, but you promote them and their works in many, many various other ways, including a conference that you've organized in London on the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Iron Curtain in 2019, and other authors' meetings and interviews in England. But I also know that you closely cooperate with an online magazine, Asymptote. Could you please tell us more about you being a part of this literary magazine?
Very gladly. So Asymptote is an international journal of literary translation that is published in English. I joined in 2013. And the wonderful thing about it is that its editors, everyone who works for Asymptote, is all around the world. So it's like one big family. Everyone does this as a volunteer. And apart from people who edit specific sections of the journal or blog editors, there are people who work as editors at large, and this is what I am. It's a kind of like a foreign correspondent, and so I'm editor at large for Slovakia. But because at the moment Asymptote doesn't have anyone covering Poland or the Czech Republic, I double a little bit also by covering these countries. And so what I do is I try to find translations. Sometimes I do them, but most often it's translations by other people. But equally importantly, I try to promote the journal Asymptote to Slovak readers because it really opens a window for them on literatures written in languages that no one translates into Slovak from, like various indigenous languages. And although I understand that about 50% of all books that are published in Slovakia are in translation, they're mostly from the better known languages.
Now I see what a nonsense it was to give this podcast 20 to 30 minutes duration, because I'd really love to talk to you about many other topics, and I have many more questions, but we have to get to the last one. And I'd like to ask you something that you've asked your guests, and that's, which book by Slovak authors do you think that should definitely be recognized by the English-speaking or even world readership? Which one do you find
a really special one?
Oh, there are really quite a few. One book that I've been trying to find the publisher for is Jaroslava Blažková's Nilanovi Mesiac, The Nile and Moon. It's a book from the 1960s. Jarka Blažková was known as the Slovak Françoise Sagan, and it is really amazing how fresh that book remains to this very day. And also another writer who's really not known at all is Leopold Lahola. His short stories, mostly set during World War II, are said to be existential. They really are very, very powerful. And then there are lots and lots of contemporary writers who really should be translated. Katka Kucbelová's Čepiec, The Bonnet, I think that's been recommended by several people here before. It would be wonderful to see something by Veronika Šikulová in English. Also Marek Vadas, Peter Mačovský. I think I could go on.
Thank you, Julia, not only for finding time to record all these 30 podcasts during last 15 months, including this one, where when I had the opportunity to talk to you. But thank you for giving voice to many Slovak authors and for translating them and promoting them in the English-speaking world. I must say, we're really, really glad to have you. So thank you, and have a great time without the need to record each 2 weeks a new podcast.
Thank you. I think that will be a bit of a relief, but still, thank you, Peter, for this interview and for this opportunity. And I would also like to thank my previous guests, all 29 of them. So if you're listening, it was really great talking to you or meeting you, sometimes only virtually. And also I'd like to thank to all our listeners. I hope that you've all found something of interest and discovered some Slovak authors and books that you'd like to read. And thank you, Peter, for being the guardian angel of this podcast and sorting out all the technical difficulties of which we've had our share even today.
But we've got it, and we'll be at the end of the last episode of Litka Slovakia. Today's guest was the host of previous 29 episodes, Julia Sherwood. So thank you once again, and have a great time.